Time to catch up on the Molloy Drive Show. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
You got that right, big fella. Here we are on the first Friday of Molloy. Hello, Dangerous Dave.
G'day, Mickey. Feeling good for the week. It'll be a long weekend for a lot of people.
Can I still
too,
call you Dangerous Dave?
Well, I've got thoughts on that.
Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. There's a bombshell coming down the pike, people. You're right, it is a big show. It's all about the guests today.
Massive.
Two of my favourite people in the world, Merrick Watts and Ross Noble. Does it get any funnier?
Does it
get any A-listier or blue chip than those two swinging by on a Friday to
chew
the fat?
Derailed in no time. I can't wait.
We need a couple of rodeo clowns
here,
I reckon, today. Things are going to get bent out of shape.
Can't wait.
Mark my words. Before we get there, though, clown of the week, full as a
gog.
Oh,
man, give us one. What do you got?
Trump will be in there, of course. A big week for him. Our own Prime Minister and comments regarding Australia Day are just mind-blowingly...
A bit tone-deaf, I think.
Tone-deaf. And ridiculous. We will get to the bottom of that. Good Lord, how hard is it, people, just to be decent?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, as well as that, we will have...
Song Whisperer.
Song Whisperer will be up
He's
and
coming
running.
Up.
We'll have the weekend review.
Yes.
We'll wrap it up and...
massive.
We may get Maddie, our producer, to explain a couple of things he did this
week. Maddie on the pots and pans, Maddie Dow.
We'll be up and running. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through on the program. That sounds like a good way to cap the first week of Molloy.
Well done, by the way.
As opposed to
flying solo, I think you've done
kind.
A good job.
Well, I feel
great job.
I miss Jane a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange feeling around here, but
it'll take a bit of adjustment.
We will bat on in honour of Jane, though. What do we do? We're still sending out limited release souvenir edition Kennedy Molloy prize packs. That is the most. I mean, so let me get this straight. You've got a cupboard or a truck out the back.
There is
full
of
this merch.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just set it out to sea quietly,
well, you wouldn't do
you've
that.
Got to give it away, even though we've changed the name of the show.
Well, it's we like to call
what's
it
in, what's in the prize pack?
Your Kennedy Molloy memorabilia pack. Well, there's a wine cooler in there. There's a stubby holder. There's a coaster that doubles as a bottle opener as well.
That's a truly shit-ass prize pack. There's nothing...
No, there's no hoodies or beanies or T-shirts in there. We're down to the...
That's worse than the days when you got an icy cold can of Coke and a Bon Jovi CD.
Who magazine or something, that's right. But you know, that's the thing. We'll give those away and they will become collector's items because that show no longer exists.
It doesn't, sadly, except in the hearts and minds of people all over Australia.
Fondly remember.
Who will... change is inevitable, but in your case, a bit alarming. Now, what did you say today when I've walked in?
Well, I mentioned to Jay, our producer, I was saying that, do you think the Dangerous Dave's a bit sort of old hat, bit 90s?
What do you mean? Like, Dangerous?
The name, because it was given to me back in 1996, and I'm turning 50 this year, and I don't know whether I want to be known.
I feel a bit like fit by the snot, a bit juvy for a 50-year-old.
I think it is.
Called Dangerous.
I think it's time to move it on. I think it's just...
Jay, is it too old? What's going on?
Dangerous Dave.
Dangerous Dave?
It's a bit nice.
I think you should keep it.
You
should be Dangerous Dave until you are no longer dangerous.
I want to see it on your tombstone.
I do not.
I want to see it on your tombstone, and soon. Here lies Dangerous Dave. What are you going to change it to? Dugong Dave.
I think it's
Davey Boy Williams.
Yeah, no, it's Dave Williams.
Dave Williams sounds like...
A bit pedestrian, isn't it?
You're dangerous.
Why would you do
that?
I don't know. I think my kids are a bit embarrassed going, this is my dad.
This is my dad,
Dangerous Dave.
Well, you've already seen off one Dangerous Dave.
Oh, that's true.
You ran him out of town.
He's no longer at Triple M Hobart. No, he's gone.
Yeah. No one's seen him in a while.
No, that's right.
If anyone
but he did ride on my coattails for a long time, that guy. So.
Well, this is a massive change. I don't think you can just...
I'm not sure. As I said, I don't know. I just don't...
Dirtbag Dave.
Dirtbag Dave. That sort of sounds a bit... No, I don't know.
Troy's on the line. Troy. You've got an idea. You've got an idea of a name change if we got rid of the Dangerous.
Yeah, look, I think if he wants to change his name, he's got to change it to Tight Ass Dave.
Yes, that's bang, Canterbury Lane.
Oh, all right.
Do you want to give him one of our prestigious?
How would you like a Kennedy Malloy memorabilia prize pack with a wine cooler, stubby holder, and a coaster that doubles it as a bottle opener? There you go.
That'd be great.
You're in. You got the Brick Lane draft. Make no mistake about that. One of the best in the business. When we come back, it's Clown of the Week.
For the drive home, this is Malloy. There are many contenders.
I've done all of Brighton.
A freaking weird accident.
Our daughter, same size as a hatchling tortoise.
But surely it's the last week for this guy.
Have a good life. We will see you soon.
Who will be?
Shut up!
Clown of the Week.
The first clowning of the year is about to commence. Before we get there, Jay, there's been a few suggestions for Dave's changing from dangerous. What did you say?
Dirty,
as in Dirty John. Dirty Dave.
Dirty Dave.
Dirty Dave.
Tight ass, I like.
That's not what I am, by the way. That's no one wants to be known as a tight ass.
Fish and chip shop at Queenscliff.
Well, $57, come on.
Diligent Dave.
Diligent. Yeah. I like Dugong. Dugong Dave has a ring to it. Dave Exotic.
That's not bad.
Like Joe Exotic.
Not bad.
We've got Dave Exotic.
Yeah, okay.
You could work. Keep him coming in. You might win something down the line. Clown of the Week. Can we start with our own Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, for his tone-deaf comments in relation to Australia Day and how offensive it is to our first Australians, and he's tried to equate it with how they may have been feeling on the boats when they arrived.
You know, on Australia Day, it's all about acknowledging how far we've come. When those 12 ships turned up in Sydney all those years ago, it wasn't a particularly flash day for the people on those vessels either.
chuckle. That's highly offensive, I'm afraid. And it's about how far we've come, which is kind of not far if you can't find it in your heart to acknowledge how that particular day may be offensive to first Australians. Now, people, Australians are good people, and understand that you cannot share in this day, and this day cannot be for all Australians if it's celebrated on that day. Mm-hmm. It's just the end of the argument. It can't be done.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want a day where everyone can come to the table, everyone can come to the party, we can give each other a hug, look each other in the eye and say, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
That date is never going to do it.
Well, the thing is with Australia Day as well, the day to be celebrated on the official calendar hasn't been around that long.
So 1996. So anyone who argues this is a tradition that goes back to the Federation of Australia, it's bullshit.
Mm.
It's 1996.
Mm.
I think I speak for all Australians when I say all I want's my public holiday.
Well, that's kind of
it on any day. I'd rather it attached to a weekend too. Let's change it to something else significant.
Yeah.
The day Booney broke the record.
Yeah.
The day Booney broke the record. The day Crocs were invented. Farlap's birthday. I don't know.
I think if you have it around this time of the year, though, if you have it in summer, which we simulate with Australia Day, if you have it like the end of January, but you're right, though, I think it should be a day for all Australians.
And don't get me wrong, I want to celebrate everything that's great about this country, but you can't do it on that date. And it's just, please, look into your heart and have a think about it and just come on. We're all in it together.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. And by the way, can I clown Morrison again? Again, because I've heard a rumour that they're going to celebrate Margaret Court with Australia Day honours on Australia Day. Have a listen. He was asked this question at a press conference.
Margaret Court, former tennis player, has been recognised in the Australia Day honours. It's apparently been leaked earlier than Tuesday. What do you think of her being recognised?
Well, I can't comment on an award that is done through an independent process that hasn't been announced, or I have no official knowledge of those things. This is a completely independent, separate process, and those announcements will be made on the appropriate day. It's a system that recognises Australians from right across the full spectrum of achievement in this country. So I can't really offer a comment on something that it's speculative.
That will be a step backwards.
Yeah.
That'll be, we've already said as Australians, we don't care for her views on many subjects.
Mm-hmm.
To take that data to nominate such a polarising figure and someone who's got some very hateful views that are offensive to many people, and we're all supposed to stand up and clap, I don't get it. Anyway, let's have some fun, Dave.
Yeah, what have we got? What, who else we got to clown?
Well, I'm going to clown the. We've played this a couple of times this week, but yeah, it makes me laugh.
Yep.
He's the sports commentator.
Yeah,
of
college basketball.
College basketball. Yeah. Adam Rosenberg's brought this in, who wants to introduce the topic of his mate's dog.
Being postponed and first half analysis. Now, I kind of want to know a little bit more about Tom Hart's dog, Larry, actually.
Well, we had to put him down a few weeks ago, Peter. Thanks for asking.
That's still funny. Poor Larry the dog. What an awkward question to ask.
I want to. What about you?
What are you talking about?
I am going to
clown
you.
What have I done?
Luke's got a name. He wants to call you. What's it? Luke, are you? Is it there? Not there. Dimebag Dave.
Dimebag Dave. Well, I don't mind that. Dimebag Darrell.
You for trying to put your headphones on early in the week and smacking yourself in the face. Have you got the sound effect?
Yeah, I do. This is.
Oh.
So they're spring-loaded headphones, and so they really sit on your ears tight. And so you whack them on, and sometimes if they slip, they hit you on the forehead.
Oh.
And it really, really hurts.
1-3-3-5-3, give us a call.
Yes.
Load up. Who do you want to clown in the very first clown?
Might win a prize.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
It is Clown of the Week. Hey, by the way, coming up, Ross Noble. He's only a few minutes
good
away.
Good Lord.
In studio here.
Buckle up, people.
Yeah, Merrick Watts is joining us in the second hour as well. Week in review.
That could
so
go anywhere.
To get through. Yeah.
We do, but we're smack bang in the middle of Clown of the Week. Is that right? Dangerous? Are you still called Dangerous Dave? You're mucking around.
Well, I just think that it sounds a bit juvenile, doesn't it,
Well, when did this fall on you? What were you doing?
This year. You know, when you start looking forward to the year, going, I've got another year at work, coming into my 30th year in radio, and do I still want to be known as Dangerous Day? What a stupid bloody name.
But you would have loved it when you came up with it.
Oh, yeah.
Dangerous
Day. You own it when you get it. I did all sorts of weird stunts and, you know, dangerous things back in the day, but not anymore.
What was your dangerous stunts?
We did skydiving.
Doesn't make you dangerous. Everyone who jumps out of a plane doesn't start calling themselves dangerous.
Dive with sharks. I did that.
What? With... In your lolly bags or inside a cave?
No.
Inside a cage? Or?
No, we went it was diving, but we call it diving with sharks. But there might have been sharks somewhere.
You went diving?
Yeah. Got my scuba.
Oh, Chris Atkins did some diving on the Blue Lagoon. He didn't call
might have been sharks
dangerous.
Around, so that was a dangerous activity.
Hang on. You called yourself dangerous because you went swimming where there may have
Correct.
Been sharks around.
Don't know. I was in Port Phillip Bay down in Melbourne, and there might... Hey, I've heard of sharks coming up close to the shore.
It's a bay. It's
so
not
what?
Even an ocean. It's not even an ocean.
Oh, stop it.
It's
there
not
are
even
sharks.
Out where the big fish are.
Oh, come on.
They might stand
dangerous.
On a flathead.
I went on a sidecar, so I was like... The passenger on a sidecar, so we did some dirt laps around. I think it might have been Yumurka in the Goulburn Valley. So, I've done some dangerous stuff.
I've been on the back of Michael Doohan's bike around Phillip Island. Two laps in a row. When we departed, he did a wheelie, and I wasn't sure if he did it deliberately or it was my weight on the back of the...
Yeah,
right, so
you
went
dangerous.
On the sidecar, what, like the two fat ladies?
Yeah, so I was that. But it was like a dirt bike on a dirt track, and it was a male. Like, it was terrifying, to be honest.
I think you do have to get
pretty
rid
dangerous.
Of dangerous. Have you got any ideas, Jay? You've been.
I've got a couple. Dr. Dave, as perhaps a
Dr. Dave.
Dave. Yeah.
Like Dr. Dan from Triple M was Dr. Dan.
Exactly. Or what about the DJ formerly known as Dangerous?
Yeah. Or you just have a sign, like a sign for your
symbol.
Oh, yeah.
A microphone.
Like Elon Musk's kid.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With its code name or whatever, yeah. No, I don't like it.
Dane's on the line. Dane, what are you thinking you should be called?
I don't know.
Well, being a Dane and being known as Danger Dane.
Dangerous Dane's on the line.
Wow.
I'm thinking of more Discount Dave. Maybe instead of a couple of dollar signs at the start of his name, he could just have little cent signs.
A little Discount Dave because he's
a tight
ass. Because you're a tight ass. Hey, give Dane a case of Brick Lane.
Special.
Case of Brick Lane, Dane.
Well done, Dane. You got that. Bloody good
Lovely.
Beer, by the way. Now available at Dan Murphy's.
Pat's on the line. Pat, what are you thinking for Dangerous Dave?
Come on, Pat.
Considering he's turning 50, I think he should be called Daggy Dave.
If the shoe fits.
Oh, shut up.
I always say. I think I've done more daggy things than dangerous things.
Like what?
Well,
I've got a Billy Joel collection at home. Is that daggy? I don't know.
You've got a rain gauge.
You've got a rain gauge. You constantly monitor the International Space Station.
Actually, you know what? You're painting a pretty good picture.
It's not dangerous at all. Hey, Pat, case of Brick Lane coming your way. Maggie's on the line. Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, listen, Dave.
Yes, Maggie.
My cousin has lived with a man called Dangerous Dave for years.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
He isn't going to see 60 again. He's Dangerous Dave. He owns it.
Does he?
I've got a dog called Dave. I have. He swaggers around the dog park. He owns his name, yeah? You either own it or you become low-risk Dave. That's what I'm going to say to you.
Well said, Maggie. You speak for all of us. Give her a prize, Maggie.
Yeah, case of brick lane. And a limited edition Kennedy Malloy memorabilia pack.
Souvenirs. They'll be worth a lot of money one day. Good on you, Maggie. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, you've got some thoughts on we were talking about Australia Day and changing the date, which I just want to state firmly, I believe it has to happen. Kevin, what are you thinking?
Yeah, well, I just had the idea that the Federation of Australia happened in 1901, so why don't we move it a week early and have it 19th of January?
19th of January, works 1901. I love the time of the year.
Me too.
Again, I speak for all Australians. I just want my public holiday.
Yeah.
I'd rather have it attached to a weekend.
Yeah.
I couldn't care if the ships arrived that day. Federation is probably the most remarkable single
step
we in all this come country's together. Political history, which talked about combining Australia. Yeah. Why wouldn't that
works for me.
Be more appropriate? Here's one for you. The day AC/DC got on the back of a truck.
Done.
And started building out a song. That is it.
That's right.
Hey, give Kevin a prize too, please.
All right, Kevin, case of Brick Lane coming your way, mate. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you very much.
We're running out of time. I wanted to acknowledge American politics and can I play my favourite bit of Trump audio. He's now gone. He won't be forgotten. So ends a reign of terror, 4 years of tumult, and the best bit of political activism I heard goes like this.
There it was, Clown of the Week. Thanks for joining in. We're back again next Friday to do it, but don't go anywhere because up next, it is the great Ross Noble joining us in studio here.
Baby. A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
I want to know why you're such a
the greatest bit of political activism I've ever heard.
It's right up there, isn't it?
Yeah, Jay, you just told me Biden's moved into the Oval Office. And what has he done already?
He's already making changes. He has had the red button that summons a Diet Coke removed.
And this is the changes we need. Yeah. By executive order, was it? Yeah. Or you just...
That's right. So I think he just probably looked at it and said, get that out of here.
So that actually existed.
There are photos from reporters who interviewed President Trump when he was in the Oval Office. And right next to the phone is a little box with a red button. And the reporters said that they wondered, what does that red button do? And then he pushed it. And within seconds, somebody brought him a Diet Coke.
The world's highest classified vending machine.
Where's
Ross Noble? He's our guest. He's here. I can see him loitering.
Come in, Ross.
And he won't. What's he waiting for? A royal acknowledgement?
He's running.
I'm going to send you an invitation by letter on horseback to join us in the studio. Here he comes.
Welcome to Malloy. Well, can I just say, I'm sad that Jane's not here.
Yes,
obviously.
Exactly.
Of course.
You know, as a regular listener, of course. It's been some changes, hasn't there, Mick?
In what regard?
In regard to the fact that I've come into the, I'll loosely describe it as a green room. An alcove. It's a rock and roll alcove.
That's it.
Yeah.
A holding pen.
There's a cheese board. So basically,
it's the first I've seen.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, I know where the money's gone. Jane's gone, and you've gone. We're spending all on cheese.
It's like a Roman orgy in here now, isn't it? I'm wearing a toga.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And not only that. Have you sat on the? What do you call that seat there? A poof? Would you call it a poof?
What do you call those?
Like an ottoman?
Manchester.
It's a poof.
I think you can use that language these days. An ottoman?
I think that's politically incorrect as well, isn't it? I think you have to call it an otter person.
An otter person? That regime no longer exists.
But I sat down on that. I thought, look at the cheese board. I thought, I'll have a grape. I've sat down on it. There's nothing to it. There's no support in it. I've gone straight over on my arse.
I wouldn't sit on that. It'd be like sitting on the carpet that was on the floor of the Pier Hotel, for instance. It's seen some action.
Seedy.
I'm just saying that you've literally gone, I'm on my own now. Oh, yeah. Do you know what I want? I want some sort of cheese board booby trap for every guest. Every guest that comes in.
You can read me like a book. You've fallen for my trap.
Yeah.
Good to see you. When was the last time we were allowed to look each other in the eye in a studio?
Yeah. It was like a year ago, I think.
I think it was.
A year. Yes. How have you gone coming out of hibernation?
You know, I wouldn't say I've fully come out yet. You know, it's getting there. I mean, hopefully, because weirdly, the gigs start up again, New South Wales.
Yes, so where are you playing? Let's get to the bottom of this, because I'm so happy to hear you're back out.
Well, hopefully, so Adelaide, the Adelaide Fringe.
Yeah, great.
I'm going to be doing 30 gigs there.
Yep.
Coming up next month.
Great.
And then I come from Adelaide, I come to Melbourne Comedy Festival, and I'm doing the full run at the Town Hall.
So tell me this year, will the Australian acts get be? Because I'm guessing there won't be as many overseas acts. Will you get the run of the joint? Yeah. It'll be like a frat party for Australian comedians.
Yeah.
But that'll be a great change as well. So people's appetite for live entertainment, I've got to tell you, it'll be like the running of the balls. Yeah. Like people will just be coming from everywhere. And to have it as a showcase for or everyone who's out here and living here and working here, I think is a fantastic opportunity.
And let's be honest, every live comedian that lives anywhere in this country will be doing a show. No one's taking a year off this year.
I have never felt more sorry for comedians than my friends, your friends, who are doing stuff on Zoom. You know why? Because you have to, because there's no other option.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a comedian, you can't. The ultimate environment, I would have thought, would be a small room stacked with people, low roofs, like banging atmosphere, which is the actual opposite of everything that COVID asked you to do.
Yeah, pretty
social
much.
Distancing, not being in the same room together, putting on a mask. So
exactly.
Here we go. Is the Fringe, Adelaide Fringe, do you think it's one of the great festivals in the world?
Definitely.
It is.
Yeah. Because it hasn't, you know why I think? Because it hasn't gotten an award.
Is that right?
Yeah,
a defining award?
As soon as you put an award in the mix, everyone starts to yell a little bit.
Is that right?
Adelaide, no award at all. Everyone's
I'd never seen it like that.
Everyone's a bit looser. You know?
I always admired.
One of the downsides of the Adelaide Fringe is a few years ago, they have this big, you know, they have the big garden there, and it's like the Garden of Unearthly Delights, and they have they have circus tents and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, right.
And bottom of Arundel Mall, where all the restaurants are, and I was there, walked past, and I saw a friend of mine. I won't mention the comedian in question. He's an older gentleman. They were running a trapeze, and they had a circus school.
Right, yes.
And I saw my mate sat there, and I didn't go out. I thought he's having a nice sunshine. There was a trapeze lesson,
gotcha.
That's what I say, right?
Right.
And then,
what time of day is this, by the way?
This is probably lunchtime. This is a sort of a hungover, you know, lie on the grass type thing.
Right, lad.
And then, anyway, a lot of young women swinging around on trapeze. The next day, I walked down there to have a bit of lunch. I noticed several more comedians were there. By the end of the month, those women were basically putting on a show.
That is fantastic.
I had to go over and say, lads,
that's a fringe act. Hey, can you hang around? We've got to go to a break, come around. We've got so much more we want to get to the bottom of with the great Ross Noble in studio.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
All right, Ross Noble is with us, by the way. Tickets to Ross's stand-up, you go to tickettech.com.au, but we're talking the Adelaide Fringe Festival, February 19 and March 21. And then in Sydney, Ross will be at the Enmore Theatre and the Concourse in Chatswood as well.
Great theatre. Yeah. These are all your natural habitats. Can't wait to see you on the show. What do you think of the name of the new show, Malloy?
I like it.
Do you like it?
You know, it's got
too much.
It's for some people, I would say it was understated.
But it does have
the feeling, and from the picture as well.
Yeah, well,
it does have that feeling.
There's
of
a lot of testosterone flowing around. What about the news that Dangerous Dave is thinking of dropping the Dangerous from his Dave? He's having what I'm calling a midlife DJ crisis.
Yeah, because I'm turning 50 this year, Ross, and I think it's a bit juvenile, Dangerous Dave. Like, it's a stupid...
And he's supposed to toss it out. That's his whole identity.
Yeah, but you're sort of dangerous in terms of like a wild man.
Yeah.
But why don't you just flip the meaning of the dangerous to being a lack of health and safety? You know what I'm saying?
That's it. Live on the air.
I get it.
Okay, so he comes in and leans back on his chair and goes, "Oh no!"
You could sit next to that cheese board. What about once a week? Mm. Once a week, you like Mick brings in some milk.
Yep.
Best before the day before, and you just think that'll be fine.
All right,
you know.
So that really live on the edge. I don't mind it.
Yeah,
will
do. I think I'm back.
If you had a moniker before your name, Ross, would you call yourself like?
Risky Ross.
Risky Ross. No.
Yeah, because it's got to be.
It's got to rhyme. It's got to have some.
It's got to have
onomatopoeia.
No, I know exactly the word. It's, it's going to come back to me. Alliteration. That's the
alliteration.
Word. Alliteration.
Yeah. What's noble? Where's noble from? What's that? There aren't many nobles I know.
Well, apparently it was, you would think, you know how like whatever your name is, if you were like Thatcher, you would be somebody that built roofs on.
Thatcher, a roof, yes. A noble.
Somebody called
it
Thatcher.
It does sound aristocratic.
Traditionally,
noble.
Thatchers would destroy the coal and steel industry. That's what it means now. Okay, political there.
Aristocratic, I think. Well, noble, aristocratic. I would think blue.
I looked into it and it switched. They've switched the whole thing. Yeah. Apparently it was, Hadrian's
Ironic.
Wall. I think that's what it was.
Hadrian's Wall,
It was said with sarcasm. I think that's what it was. I think it's like,
oh, look out, here come the nobles.
Noble. So, yeah, I think it was ancient sarcasm.
Hey, I want to ask you, you've got a bit of a penchant for animation.
You can't see it from here. Can you?
Dump it, though.
Too late.
You did an animated role in a film.
Yes, that's
what,
right.
What was that? Who were you again?
I was the Frilltail Lizard.
Oh, yeah.
In the Wishmas Tree. Yeah,
yes, which, and I've watched it, and I usually go straight to that scene. Because it's there's a flutter of programs when your character comes on. It's wonderful. What's the latest you've done?
The new one is this is a half hour one. It's called Cooked. And it's going to be on ABC, I think, on the 26th.
On the 26th, which is still Australia Day.
Yeah, and it's basically I play Captain Cook. Well, I play the ghost of Captain Cook, who travels to modern day times and then has a look at what's going on now. He's joined by a goat who was possessed by the spirit of somebody that one of his crew killed when they originally turned up.
See, this was bound to be done at some stage.
Of course. It was just begging for it.
So it sounds a bit political, right? Is this for children or for adults?
Yeah, very much for adults, yeah. Some points in there.
You've piqued my interest. That sounds fantastic. And what about your podcast? Because Jay's on the list. Say hello to Jay, our producer, who I know you know very well. Are often down the back shed knocking out a couple of podcasts.
Yes.
What are you working on at the moment?
Hi, Jay.
Hello, Ross.
There we go.
It's a bit formal.
It's good to see you in the studio, man. We've done this. Ross and I have not been in the same place for more than a year.
That's right.
Because I'm in Sydney while Ross is in Melbourne. Yeah. We still haven't been together in more than a year.
You've got a vast stable of podcasts, Jay. Yeah. You're a bit of a mogul, is that
it's,
thing?
It's exclusive. He has an exclusive range of high-quality podcasts. Don't say it like that. Like, you've got a big stable. No, he's got a load. These are high-quality, thoroughbred podcasts.
I apologise.
He's not running some knacker's yard of donkey podcasts.
It's not a burn and tune unit down there.
He's the maestro.
He is. Well, he does have a blue chip stable. What have you guys been working on together?
So, Ross Noble Podcast. So, he's another
again,
original
well
name.
Well done on the name.
Didn't just call it Noble.
And Ross's idea was to deconstruct video clips.
I heard this.
It started out with a lot of promise.
But I don't. Have you as yet deconstructed any video clips?
We did three.
We did three.
I think we did Halsey, we did Wired for Sound, Cliff Richard, and we did The Weeknd, Blinding Lights, which is worth a look because there's an actual point in it where, I don't know if you watched the video closely, but there's a point where he lunges at a pigeon.
Right.
And the whole podcast is us trying to decide. It's with Ed Cavalli, and
Ed
we're
Cavalli,
trying to decide whether or not he lunges or lurches. So we got into that in a big way. But then
the dictionary's out. What's happening?
I believe now it's how many? I think is it 15 episodes we've done now?
It is now 24, Ross.
But it's 15 since.
That's right.
So it's for the last 15 episodes, we've been attempting to talk about Shania Twain's That Don't Impress Me Much. But
haven't got around to it.
But we keep getting, I know it's hard to believe for me, but we keep getting sidetracked. There's been a lot of talk ice cream makers in The Mandalorian.
Okay.
That's been quite high on the list.
Well, this sounds right up our alley.
And a lot of Nicolas Cage talk as well.
Oh, I love Nicolas Cage. Huge amount. What's your favourite Nicolas Cage movie?
Well, I mean, he's done some good ones in the. Have you seen Jiu-Jitsu yet?
No, I haven't.
Just came out. Just
it just came out.
Love a bit. No, my favourite one is a film he did called Arsenal. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
No, because no one's heard of any of the films. There's an amazing film called Arsenal where he has a false nose and he meets his death in a deep fat fryer.
Well, you had me at big fake nose. Yeah. Hey, my favourite story of Nicolas Cage was I know someone who was doing costuming on a movie.
He had to make,
and it was making it here, but she had to fly over there to get it, size him up.
Yeah.
So she went into his home and he was lying on his couch in his Speedos and he refused to get up. Wow. So while he was watching telly, she's had to measure up Nicolas Cage while he's lying on the couch watching the telly and refusing to move.
And did he do a rollover at any point? Did you just flip him?
He would have been the gentlemanly thing to do. Wow. Hey, Ross, thanks for coming in.
You're always awesome. A pleasure.
We're going to give those dates out. We're going to post them on our website. This is great news that you are back where you belong, out entertaining a grateful public. Good on you, Ross.
Thanks for having me.
Adelaide Fringe Festival, Feb 19 to March 21. Then in Sydney, Enmore and the Concourse in Chatswood from April 29 and May 2. Ticketek.com.au. That's the great Ross Noble.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
How great is Ross Noble, by the way?
Fantastic.
One of the funniest. And
go see him live.
Equally as funny and nutty is Merrick Watts, who's going to join us in the next few minutes as well. It's a big Friday.
Hey, Ross is coming up on Celebrity Apprentice.
I believe so.
I cannot wait to see kind of mayhem
April, May
transpires.
I imagine.
On that, and of course, Mez was on SAS Australia.
Oh, man, he's looking buff.
I was asked once.
What were you asked for?
To do Celebrity Overhaul.
You should have done it.
I said, how long does it run? They said 8 weeks. I said, you won't touch the sewage. is it time?
All right, for this Song Whisperer time. Yep, let's do it.
Jay, the Song Whisperer.
All right, synopsis, please, Jay Mondo.
You bet. This guy is in love. He is besotted. He is infatuated. He is lost. He spends the first half of the song explaining what a joy it is to look upon his beloved and the nostalgia such a glimpse inspires. He spends the second half of the song mumbling and asking for directions.
Ooh. Sounds like an idiot. is he like head over heels in love? Is it Nine Inch Nails?
Oh,
I want to.
No.
What are you thinking, Dave?
What about Where Do You Go by Hunters and Collectors?
Tell me, where do you go?
Asking for directions,
Asking for directions. What about I Would Walk 500 Miles? Oh. That's like where, Keeps wants directions.
Proclaimers.
The Proclaimers?
It is not Hunters and Collectors, and sadly not The Proclaimers.
Well, I don't know. I'm out of guesses. What are you thinking?
Well, if you do know, 133353, call through. We've got some great prizes, a slab of Brick Lane, and we've got some old Kennedy Malloy memorabilia merchandise.
Yeah, limited edition.
Guys, the hotline's ringing.
The hotline's ringing.
Already?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hello?
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, Adam. How are you? Are you ringing up for the Song Whisperer?
I thought I'd guess some songs.
Oh, this is Adam Siddak, by the way, world number 78.
Adam Siddak, yes.
Hotel quarantine at the moment and back on court next week.
Half New Zealand, half Russian.
Yeah.
Do you know any oligarchs?
I don't actually, What am I doing?
I'd love to meet an oligarch. That. Love to hang out with them.
Would you?
Yeah. Hey, you want to have a guess? What do you think the song is?
Yeah.
I strongly believe it's Oh Nana Heya by Pussyfoot.
Oh.
What's
wrong with
you? Okay, you have been in lockdown too long. Right, it's not that. You want to have another go?
What about Dub Thumping by Chumbawamba?
Oh, come on.
Let him out. Someone let him out a lot. This is not... No, we'll give you one last shot, Adam. One last shot, Adam.
All right. My best guess here.
Yeah.
Stay, Oingo Boingo.
Don't you go. Stay with me one more day.
Adam, I'm sorry. They're none of the above, but we really appreciate it.
I am very shocked. I'm absolutely shocked right now. My one request would be a slab of Brick Lane beer. Would that be possible?
That would be fine. You know what you should do? You should have one of those between sets.
That's right.
Tennis Australia.
I'm going to start a new trend. I'm going to do that.
I like it.
Everybody's going to follow me.
Absolutely. You're a good man.
We love you.
Do us a favor. Have a great weekend. How many days to go now?
I lost count. I think it's about 6 or 7. It doesn't matter at this point.
Did you hear they've just extended it? No,
that's not the case.
Don't joke like that.
Yeah. Good on you, Adam. Enjoy your weekend. If you know what the song Whisperer is, 133353. This is Malloy.
This is Malloy. To gather back around your wireless people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
Merrick Watts is in the house.
He is.
I can see him still chatting away to Ross Noble. What a conversation.
Couple of comedians, top of their game.
We need a couple of rodeo clowns in here today. That's right. It's hard to tell us apart physically at the moment.
You and Merrick.
It's like looking in a mirror. Like one of those funny mirrors they see at the fun
park. I wonder whether you'll notice your balding legs.
Don't bring up the alopecia. Wow. Jesus, Dave. You're going to ruin it. I'm going to ask him what he thinks your name should be, whether dangerous is.
Right.
Hey, that's all coming up. We've got the weekend review.
Yes.
We're going to get Maddie in to explain a couple of things he's produced
Matt
for us
this
week. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But let's start at the top.
Jay, the Song Whisperer.
Give us the synopsis again, please, Jay.
You bet. This guy is in love. He is besotted. He is infatuated. He is lost. He spends the first half of the song explaining what a joy it is to look upon his beloved and the nostalgia such a glimpse inspires. He spends the second half of the song mumbling and asking for directions.
So he's lost.
He's lost. Yeah. He doesn't know where he is.
I'm a rock. I'm an island. That's my guess. Don't laugh, Dave.
It's not correct.
Really?
All right. What about the Bad Loves, Lost? That was an Australian song, early 90s.
Not the Bad Loves.
You've lost that loving feeling.
Oh, good.
Ooh, no. Not you lost that loving feeling.
Okay, we should probably go to the listeners. John, where are you calling from, John?
I'm on the way to pick up my daughter, but I've pulled over like a good citizen.
Yeah. Where do you live?
I live at Bondi, mate.
Bondi?
Oh, man.
Ground Zero, one of the most famous beaches in the world, bar
on the postcard.
It's one of my favourite places. When I'm in Sydney, I always stay at Bondi.
Yep. You're papped at Bondi.
Eating a burrito.
That's right.
If a man can't have a quiet moment with his burrito without being hassled by the paparazzi, who basically...
100%, Mickey. I feel your pain.
I feel my pain. Do you know how much that... shot sold for
what's that?
$70.
Really?
And I know that because I'm the only one who bought it, I could show it
from Getty Images. Well done,
$70. Getty dining out on me.
Yeah.
Hey, John, what are you thinking the song is?
Well, it's not a very typical Triple M song, but I'm thinking Air Supply. I'm All Out of Love.
Oh, I wish Jane was here.
Wow. If it's this one, I will give you $1 million, I reckon. You'll get a slab of Brick Lane balls to ring up and say, Air Supply, I'm all out of love. Who were the guys in Air Supply? There was the guy with the afro.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. He was the brunette.
Yep.
And who was the other guy? He was like the Andrew Ridgely of the group.
Straight blonde hair. I don't recall what either of their names were. But
it was like Hall & Oates, wasn't it? You always had to pick one. You're like,
They're Australian, though, Air Supply. Aussie band.
Yeah.
So they did big things in the US.
I remember seeing them on Solid Gold in the US.
Did you?
Right. Is that the show with the Solid Gold Dancers?
The Solid Gold Dancers.
Oh, I love the Solid Gold Dancers.
Marilyn McCoo.
As a young boy at the time, that was the most erotic thing you could see. The dancers coming out in very skimpy gold costumes and going Coco Bananas.
Was it Dionne Warwick? She was a part of that whole setup, wasn't she?
You're thinking Soul Train.
Okay, beg your pardon.
I don't know. Sorry, John, it's not Air Supply.
It's Slab of Brick Lane.
You got your Slab of Brick Lane, John. Well, I'm out of love. Would we even own a copy of that?
Not in the system. I had to get Maddie to go and pull it off you.
It used to be my karaoke song.
Air Supply, All Out of Love. You know, I think there's a note in that where it's held the record for the longest held note in a song. Yeah, right.
Is that true?
Yeah, it was at the time. whether it's still happening.
Can you get it so we'll hear it?
Yeah. All right.
Decibel. Towards the end of the song. Did he do it himself or is it trickery?
No, no. It was done by the band, yeah, the lead singer.
He should get a slap of brick
light. Yeah.
Hey, Marty. Marty, where are you calling from?
Nanogoon.
Nanogoon. Is it an actual place?
Yeah.
What happens in Nanogoon?
Yeah, not much.
All right, mate. You've stepped up to the table. Good luck. What's your guess?
Sweet Child of Mine.
Sweet Child of Mine. Just read out the synopsis again, please, Joe.
The guy is in love. He's besotted. He's infatuated. He is lost. He spends the first half of the song explaining what a joy it is to look upon his beloved and the nostalgia such a glimpse inspires. And the second half of the song mumbling and asking for directions.
Where do I go? Where do I go? Where do I go? Oh, this could be on the money.
Mm. Where do we go? Where do we go? Where do we go?
Yeah,
you got it. You got it, Marty.
Hey, are you a fan of Guns N' Roses, Marty?
I'm probably one of the biggest fans.
So yeah, they're coming back out in Australia. Dave, you saw their concert last time.
Last time at the MCG. Did you see them last time, Marty, when they played? It was incredible.
Okay, what's your favourite lead break in Sweet Child of Mine? There's two absolute bonkers, and it polarises people. The first or the second?
The second.
Oh, the second? Okay. Well, geez, out. I'd like to hear Jane on the ukulele. Would do a good.
That'd be all right.
Oh, she
might be next. That'd be good.
Cowbell would be good. Well, they don't mind a cowbell. Yeah. Guns N' Roses. What's he winning?
Well, you've got yourself a slab of Brick Lane, which is bloody good beer. You can buy now at Dan Murphy's. Yep. Got a case of that. And some exclusive, can't buy any more memorabilia.
This is collector's items.
Kennedy Malloy, wine cooler, stubby holder, and coaster that doubles as a bottle opener.
Your friends will be envious.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Fire it up,
Dave.
Here we go. Up next, Merrick Watt.
This is Malloy.
Week in review coming up soon. You are listening to Malloy with Mick Malloy. And joining us right now, he's got some shows coming. It is the legend Merrick Watt.
Live in the studio.
Great to be here, gents.
It's like a royal visit. How good is this?
It's like the old days.
Yeah. People are allowed to talk to each other.
It's great.
Enjoy their company.
It's great. And everyone's dressed up for me as well. It's been really
particularly you look great. I have to say, you haven't let yourself go after SAS Australia. Yeah. I don't think you've got an ounce of body fat on you.
And look, I can't
And now you say something nice about me.
You look great. You look great.
It's like a before and after shot in here, isn't it, right now?
You and I are the booper ad if we stand next to each other.
Do you have hair on your legs? Now, listen, this has been raging.
I've heard.
Mick's got balding legs.
Yeah. Whitney came in and basically made fun of me physically, which was hurtful and borderline bullying.
Mm. It is bullying.
I sucked it up, though, and since then it's become, look, cause I've got no
just hair. Look, I've heard about the hairless legs.
Nothing.
I did not expect it. Right, I thought it was going to be like one of those crazy radio things where you have to pretend they're less
hair above the knee.
Listen to me.
They're so white and hairless. You look like a patient.
I can't get it back down over my massive car.
Oh, it's like a boiled egg with pubes.
Okay, well, thanks for being
better than I imagined.
But what's going on in your department?
I don't have a lot of hair on my legs, but I've got more than that. I'm known as the hairless cat. You know those sphinx cats that people are terrified of because they should be because they're not
they
human.
They do look bizarre.
I'm known as the sphinx cat because I don't really have much body hair on me. I've got stacks of pubes downstairs. Don't worry, I'm still a man. Didn't need to know that. Since COVID, I've not...
It's like one of the Jackson 5 down there. It's like... Seriously.
It's like five of them. How do they trim? It's all of them. Not Tito. He's not down there. So I go too far.
Yeah.
But I've never had a hairy body. Okay. So when everyone was talking about you not having very hairy legs, I thought they'd be like mine. I want to have another look. Oh, I want to get a photo with them.
It's like that albino from, I forget the movie. Hey, good to have you on. What's
great
happening in your world? Yeah. What's happened since SAS Australia? I'd love to hear about what
incredible.
You're up to. Well, but that was a fantastic show, and you were great. There's going to be a second series.
Yeah.
What's your advice to anyone who wants to get on that?
Yeah, go and do it. Do it 100%. Do it, particularly if you've got doubts in your mind and you're not sure you want to do it and you don't reckon you stand much of a chance. Do it, because it's really entertaining for me. I don't think you'll go very far. But like,
how long would I last? Like with a?
I reckon you'd last a few days there, Mick. I don't think. Yeah, I don't think you'd Roxy Jasenko out of there. I don't think you'd come to the first challenge.
That's how I'd leave, though. I get punched in the face by a Roxy Jasenko type, and that would be my ignominious end.
Once the ratings go up, though, if you did sign to that.
Can I tell you, I've got experience in. I've got a resume because at cadets, school cadets, I had my Lance Corporal stripe.
Oh, really?
Taken off me in front of the whole platoon because I was in charge of the queue stall and I was caught selling snack packs out the back of my hoochie for $5. And so in my hoochie, I had a big pile of snack packs. Went on a 2-day Navex.
Yeah.
When I came home, all the snack packs were gone, and there was like the staff sergeant.
How did they find you? I mean, they would have used those bush training techniques to track down all the snack packs.
Someone gave me up.
We found a trail of snack packs and a couple of Calippos. This is interesting. That's a giveaway.
Would my 2 years' service at Cadet Camp
that'd get you the whole way?
Would get me
through. Definitely. You get the whole way through. There's a few celebrities who've been in touch with me, a couple of this week, and they've been asking me about, like, you know, what do you have to do to get through SAS Australia? And I've just gone, well, it's pretty easy. I mean, going from experience, be me, Badger, or Sabrina. And if you're not, good luck to you.
Because you trained beforehand, didn't you?
Yeah.
Can I ask the audition process? So before they select you, what do they ask of you? Or do you have to pass a physical test?
Sadly, it's very much like the casting couches you hear about with Harvey Weinstein in America.
Wow.
I was prepared. I said, I'm prepared to win this. And they said, how prepared, Merrick? And I said, okay.
I'll go in there, show them my calves.
You get comfortable. Yeah.
Hang about, Merrick. Yeah. We've got more to get through.
Merrick, what's with us? Malloy.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
With Merrick Watson Studio. Hey, by the way, Grapes of Mirth is happening in the King Valley tomorrow, Merrick.
You're performing Brand Brothers. There.
And then next week you're in Launceston. Yeah?
Yes.
And then the Adelaide Hills is coming up as well with another show as well. Yeah. So
it's gone nuts.
Grapesofmirth.com.
They all seem to be wine growing districts.
Yeah, they are. It's a front. It's a front.
Thank you very much. You came in here today, Merrick, and you gave me a Riesling Freak number 3.
Yep.
This looks like a fine bottle of wine. Talk me through its chief characteristics.
Obviously not that fine. The first two are already gone.
Is this a good one?
Riesling Freak's good. I mean, look, if you're ballsy enough to put your name Freak in front of Riesling, you must be cashing the checks afterwards. It's a good one.
That's good to see you live and trotting around Australia. Because you're a bit of a nomad. I think you're moving suburbs. Mm-hmm. You're in Coogee at the moment.
Right. Coogee in Sydney, but I've bought a place in Maroubra. So stop the presses. This is the first time I've spoken about it publicly. Okay. This will definitely make news.com.au. Bought a place in Maroubra in Sydney.
Nice.
Yeah, because I've got two little kids and I want them to grow up to learn knife fighting skills, but I don't want to pay for it.
Sounds tight.
But I'm one of those guys like, well, why? I
get it.
You know, why am I going to pay for something I can get done down the street?
That's right. So, I've got twin boys, but I send only one of them to private school and each one on the second day. So it's one. It's one set of books, one school costume, and the other one has to teach the other one what they learned today. And so that's the system.
That's perfect. So that's like a 50-50 split. So technically you could call one of them a half-wit and it's actually a compliment.
Or if one of them goofs off, they're both in trouble.
This is great.
Yep. You said Coogee. My favourite bit of graffiti I ever saw anywhere in Australia was on the side of the Coogee Bay Hotel.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Many, many years ago, it was overrun with English backpackers.
Still is.
And it still is. And on the side of the pub, it simply read, Ivan Milat for day release.
Okay.
Why am I laughing at that? That's a horrific thing.
It's horrific, but someone had enough of English backpackers in that area. Hey, have you had a nickname or you had a name? Have you ever called yourself?
The worst nickname I reckon I got was when I was playing footy as a young man. I got called Steggles because I've got chicken legs, and
I could get that now after exposing my.
Yeah, no, you've well, you know what? I reckon you're better than that. You're better than Steggles. I reckon you're a good sized Ingham turkey. They're good. You've got some good calf work going on there. Yeah, you
take
got
that back.
Nah, you got good calves. There's a bit of meat on those.
Oh, no.
I've got the ones like a barbecue chooks you get from Coles, where when you pick up the drumstick, it just the bone just falls out. So where's the meat gone? That's
so
the sort of legs I've got. Yeah,
I like
as a chicken.
That.
Yeah.
I like that.
So chicken
Dave,
legs.
Dave's thinking of dropping his moniker.
I don't know, man. You know, as I said earlier, like I'm turning 50 this year, and I think it's a bit old hat. It's a bit 90s, you know. Dangerous Dave.
Dangerous. Like, I mean, can you go that far and then just all of a sudden change your identity?
I actually think you probably need to be honest.
That's what I'm thinking too.
I don't think you look old, and I think you know you've got a great kind of you know young spirit to you. But I do think you should change your name to Pensioner Dave.
Not quite there yet. Even though they have a 50s, I can. Yeah.
Hey, we've got a couple of calls. Do you mind? We'll take them. So then Ken calling from Yarrawonga. What do you reckon Dave's new name should be?
I reckon Dave should be Delicate Dave.
Delicate Dave, why?
Well, after hearing the non-dangerous things that earned him his name.
Did you hear what his dangerous pursuits were? He said swimming with sharks.
Mm. Yeah.
And I said, oh, right, so in a cage or whatever. He goes, no, I was just swimming in the bay, but I thought there could be sharks around.
Yeah, that's it. Open waters.
We're all terrified of a gummy.
But it was a dangerous thing to do.
All right, we get the idea. Corey's on the line. Corey. Yeah.
If you're a pilchard.
Yeah, how you going?
Corey, what do you think Dave's name should be?
I think he should be called Deluxe Dave.
What am I?
Why would you call him Deluxe Dave?
Oh, he's a proud owner of a $10,000 flash bed.
Oh, yeah, the Tempur mattress.
The Tempur mattress.
Yeah, yeah, that is true, and it is very deluxe.
We got him, though.
Corey. Yeah, you did, too.
How does it such a tight ass have a $10,000?
Oh, well, I got it for free.
It was free.
Well, there you go. All right. Okay. Because I was going to start maybe suggesting a different name there, Corey, for Dave, which was Dealer Dave, because I was thinking, how did he pay for a $10,000 mattress?
That's true, too.
Bumbag Dave.
$10,000 mattress, and... sees a bit of action.
Oh, yeah, it does too. I used to have some music for that, but I don't have
You should invite somebody else to join you.
Oh, the lovely wife.
$10,000. It's got NASA-style technology.
It does.
What are you getting in a $10,000 mattress?
It goes up, goes down. You've got the remote control, so you can put your feet up or you can put your back up. And the mattress. It's amazing.
I need heat-resistant tiles, you know, like the ones they have on
the space shuttle.
Yeah. Space shuttle.
For just re-entry.
To slow the friction.
Is that for re-entry? Because that's something that could happen on Dave's mattress, I reckon.
Moving on. Dave. He'll this guy. No, his name's Dave.
Yeah.
Dave from Wagga Wagga. What do you reckon Dave's name should be?
Oh, I reckon it should be Dedicated Dave to put up with you.
Yes! That's it.
Get stuck, Dave. Nothing for you.
Slab of Brick Lane.
Well done.
It's coming your way. Well done, Dave.
Tell us about you. You must be so happy. I'm so happy to see you face to face and us all be out and having shared community experiences. And you're going to be. Have you missed the live? Have you missed the opportunity to stand up in front of a room full of people? Or,
100%. I reckon every comedian, you know, because let's face it, we're incredibly needy people.
desperate. Desperate. Not a stretch.
It's really sad. Like, it's really what we've come to realise is that we would do everything that we do for a living for free. and now it's the time for us to be exploited for that. But no, it's great to be back. What's awesome, and I did a couple of Grapes from Earth gigs in Adelaide and Orange just before Christmas, and seeing people react in crowds to an outdoor comedy event and being around comedy was awesome.
Well, get involved. Go and see Merrick Watts do his thing in his natural habitat. Great to see you. Thanks for the wine.
Great to be
here. We'll see you soon. Anytime.
Grapesofmirth.com.au for tickets to go see Merritt, Peter Hellyer, Nath Valvo, Harley Breen, Geraldine Hickey, Jude Pearl, and Mez as well. Should be amazing. Brown Brothers this weekend.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
Here comes the weekend.
It's
long weekend for a lot of people too.
Is it our first week in review?
It is.
Malloy.
Put together by the great Matt Dower.
Who's joining us and we'll speak to him very shortly.
Yeah, take a listen.
We kicked off the year with the show's huge announcement over summer.
What the hell? What's been going on in your world, but big changes. Jane Kennedy is now our former co-host of Kennedy Malloy.
Janie joined us for one final time.
I've been abandoned.
It
is the Kennedy and Kennedy Malloy who's had to hang up her microphone. Things just didn't turn out the way. Now, listen.
Hang on. Everybody, this is the highlight of my day, as you know. When you do a show like this, which I love, you put
a lot of effort into it, and I just felt I couldn't do 100% with kids.
And that's where I'm a bit upset. Are you putting your family before me?
When I first took this job, I had 5 kids at home. I was leaving to go to work. I didn't realise I'd be going to work to my 6th child.
And phone lines lit up with well wishes and concerns.
He's going to keep Mickey in line. I mean, Ainge is useless, right?
Thank you.
Sorry, Dave.
He is.
But in all honesty, Jane, I'm lucky enough to speak to you in person. Thank you very much for all the time on the radio.
You will be very, very sadly missed around Australia and on the show.
Yeah, I'll just like, how are you going to take a ski now, Mick?
Get stuffed.
Good point, though. What's going to happen then?
This random song request.
Seven Nation Army, the White Stripes would song. Be wonderful.
I don't know their voice. Is that RM Sitak?
That is correct.
You're the number 78 ranked tennis player in the world who's clearly bored shitless in lockdown.
Gave us an exclusive player insight out of Australian Open quarantine.
So how do you feel your day? What are you doing? Are you watching the telly?
Well, I actually have put Friends on from Netflix.
Friends?
And, it's on.
Who's your favourite Friends?
It's Chandler.
Mick had safety concerns regarding a certain candle.
Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candle.
Yeah.
That the actress peddles on Goop exploded into flames in the living room of a UK woman who won the product in a quiz. Exploded, or as I say, the candle had an orgasm. Like multiple explosions. Is that a myth? Can I tell you this? Immediately after the candle exploded, all the men in the room fell asleep.
There were plenty of questions for Dr. Chris Brown about Mick's new puppy, Murphy.
We got it for Christmas. I'm dumping it at Easter.
Oh, come on.
People say that a lot of owners choose dogs that most remind them of themselves.
I was going to get a Rottweiler with a massive wang.
Adam Rosenbach's joined us and reminded Mick of the first time they met.
So I was a 22-year-old. Mark Molloy, you had finished your show, you were sitting out the front, and I saw Mick as I was walking out, and I thought, this is my chance.
There you go.
Mick, love your show, love the late show, blah, blah, blah. And Mick just goes, May have said hello. You had the airs of someone who doesn't wash their own hair.
Our producer James displayed some bizarre behaviour in the office.
Young James goes up to the vending machine, which is still on the fridge. So you got a Kit Kat, but instead of punching out one, it punched out two.
Yes.
In a moral panic, he takes one and leaves the other in the drain.
The actual F. Well, this is the basis of our trades-based system. I pay for one, I get one.
But someone else is going to get it for free.
It's a freebie.
And callers were equally appalled.
I want to know if I'm actually able to nominate him for Clown of the Week prematurely. Would have taken it and run because that's what the next bloke's going to do anyway.
Correct.
I mean, the thing had to spat out 10 that would have taken 10 that would have eaten them all before I got home so the wife didn't know.
Why would you even go past the Aero bar for a Kit Kat? I don't know.
They only do the mint Aero, and I'm not a mint Aero boy.
There's a quote you don't hear every day.
Wednesday, we received another random song request.
Can I please request Hip to be the Sandman?
Okay. Is that you, Artem?
Yeah, it's me again.
Artem Sinek.
From our favourite quarantine tennis professional on day 6 of his Melbourne stay.
You're a curious blend of Russian and New Zealand.
Yeah. I am.
I'm going to put something to you. I heard this. Were you keeping bees in New Zealand?
Yeah, you were.
Well, no wonder you can handle the boredom of lockdown. You're a New Zealander who keeps bees.
That's amazing.
Charlie Pickering made his first Molloy appearance.
Can I just say, I will absolutely miss Jane being here as a friend. What did you do?
Look, it's no one thing.
Thursday, a huge development in Kit Kat Gate. After it was discovered the office vending machine surveillance cameras were turned off during the incident. So we demanded answers from our office manager, Roshana.
You're the only one who had access to the footage. The footage has mysteriously disappeared. Have you had access to a Kit Kat?
Look.
Okay, let's get in our first witness.
Matt O'Gorman, he's one of our DJs as well.
I was surprised to see a Kit Kat at the bottom of the vending machine.
Oh, my God.
I went to the vending machine also to get a Kit Kat. So it was me. I was the culprit. I grabbed it and gave it to her as a gift because she was so flat out.
So you ate the proceeds of crime.
It's in my drawer.
I'll be needing that as evidence. If we got to the bottom of it, look at all the trouble you caused, James.
Planet America's Chaz Licciardello shared his favourite Trump lowlight from the past 4 years.
There was a hurricane. Trump just sent a tweet saying it's going to Area 2. He just made a mistake. That happens.
Yeah.
The weather guy said, you made a little mistake. Just be very clear where this hurricane's going. And he said, no, you're wrong. And to prove that you're wrong, I'm going to hold a press conference and I'm going to hold up your weather map, but I'm going to draw in Texter the area where they said the hurricane was going to go to, and then I'm going to walk away and act like I won.
Denise got joined us, and she, like many other guests this week, only had one question.
Look, there is somebody missing. It's like, so what went on there? Where is Jane Kennedy?
I'm getting a lot of this accusatory.
Well, I'm sensing trouble.
No, not at all.
Oh,
Jane Kennedy and me.
No trouble there. Oh, no.
So we wrap up our first massive week of Malloy. A week that saw us farewell our much-loved co-host for the past 3 years, Jane Kennedy.
What a treat to be able to do a national radio show, Mickey. Thank you for being a gentleman with me. Also, one of the first men in this country to absolutely insist on parity, even calling the show Kennedy Malloy. That meant a lot.
You are more than anyone's equal, and I've enjoyed working with you for so many years, and I know we're going to do it again.
It has been. Can you fill in the bits where I'm crying?
Jane, do you know what it is? Is it to pursue your illicit affair with Dr. Chris Brown?
Oh.
Well, why don't we ask him? Hi, Chris.
Well, this is quite a revelation. I mean, you can read about it in Woman's Day next week, I'm quite sure.
Chris.
Jane, it's been such joy, and we'll miss you a lot.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you for your service,
we
Jane.
Love you,
thank you
love
so you. Much. Thank you for not putting me on the Deadpool list.
This is Malloy.
By the way, you missed our week in review, the podcast. You can catch up at Malloy, and put together by the great Matt Dow.
That's for his voice. You're hearing doing those breakers. He joins us now in the studio. Matty,
hey,
how
guys.
Are you?
Yes, good, thank you.
You may be rightly suspicious of what we're up to because we asked you to do something for us earlier in the week, and you've had a busy week. And by the way, congratulations on that. You handled the Jane stuff and everything beautifully in a week in review. But we asked you to produce something for us, and there was a story about Elon Musk who... Yeah. Being blamed for killing cats.
Yeah, Jamie Lynn Spears.
Because the Tesla's so quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
We said, wouldn't it be funny if David Attenborough was in a David Attenborough documentary, David Attenborough was hit by a Telstra which snuck up on him from behind. But you didn't do that.
No. I heard bits of that conversation. I was actually emailing Charlie Pickering at the time about an upcoming segment and only heard selected bits of that
brief. So you rearranged them in your own order.
Yes, correct.
And what did we get? We got a cat.
The cat was ticked off, but and we got Attenborough, and we got a Tesla.
Right. But in the wrong order?
Yeah.
Let's have a listen.
Oh, here it is.
Many people regarded it as the most costly in the history of mankind. If we act now, we can yet put it right.
So the cat got hit, not...
by Attenborough, driving the Tesla.
David Attenborough. Yeah. But because you're such a professional, you insisted on going back into the studio and you produced this up for it. Here it is as it was supposed to sound. David Attenborough being hit by a Tesla that sneaks up on him.
But things are different today. Today, monkeys are teaching us things. Watch what happens.
Well done, Matty.
Job done. The other reason we got you in, it's your birthday. It was your birthday on Friday.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much. Come here. We've organised you something.
Oh, yeah. Because Whitney's coming in.
We couldn't do the show. Wow. We couldn't do the show without you. And we go, what are we going to get you? So what we've organised, this is a night out for you, because we know you love live music.
It's been a bit light on. Yeah.
So what we've done is we've organised you a night out with Katie, with the miss. You're going to go to, you know, Jimmy's, Dimitri's Feast. You've got a $200 gift voucher there.
Oh, wow.
Hang on. Have dinner at Dimitri's Feast in Richmond. It's the best Greek food. I picked it up last night. And let's say I had a couple.
Okay. So how much is left?
The $200. Maybe. Slightly.
Conditions apply. Okay. Right.
But it's there. And then we have, at your selection, a double to the corner for any show you want to go to this year.
Yep.
Insane.
It's a little thank you for everything you do.
You're the best, Matty. You're the best in the business of what you do. And we love you as part of the show.
So pick it like an international touring band.
Yeah,
thanks, mate. We really appreciate it. And thanks for helping us through this transition.
Happy
birthday, big fella.
Thank you.
That's Matt Dow up, and this is Malloy.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
That's just about a wrap, Mick, for week one.
Well done, everybody, for a difficult change here at Triple M on this program. Jane will be sorely missed. Can't be replaced. We're soldiering on, and well done, everyone.
Yeah, been
huge. Maddie, who's done, he's off to the best night of his life. Dimitri's Feast in Richmond. It's the best Greek restaurant.
On the menu, what would you pick?
I'd go the lamb chops. I'd go the quail. Oof. I'd go the prawn. I'll be doing all that in about half an hour.
Some Negronis as well.
Negronis. halfway to your $200. And, of course, the Corner Hotel, which I think is the crown zero for live music in Australia. It is the best. Yeah. And they're reopened for business.
Yeah, you come to Melbourne,
get along
that place,
eh? And do that as well. Mm. One and all, thank you very much.
Hey, big week next week. We had some A-listers in today. We had Ross Noble and Merrick, by the way, the podcast. You can catch up what you missed out there. But next week, we're back with Jim Jefferies from
LA. I can't wait.
Bang! We love his top shelf.
Always fun. He'll tip the table upside down, no doubt.
Narrowly, we'll be back on Monday with a weekend in sport, and it's the day of Dave's, Mick. We've got Dave Reynolds, Dave O'Neill, and
formerly known
Dangerous
as Dangerous Dave.
Yeah. Wow. That's next week. Tune in to Malloy and enjoy your weekend.
Now you're all caught up on the Malloy Drive Show.